Well, good evening, everybody. If you were up here right now, it would feel probably like an earthquake, because I'm shaking in my shoes right now. But we're going to be in Galatians chapter 6, verse 8. And I'm going to actually talk about me for just a little bit and my journey to God. And I grew up in a big family. I have probably 100 cousins. Some I don't know their names. And all those things. But we moved. In my life, we've moved like about 22 different times. I went to 13 different schools. I went to a school about every grade that I've been to a school where I've only been there for 3 days. And then we got up and moved. Mom always lost her job. We would go house from house just long enough where basically the landlord would let us and would kick us out and we would move on. So I made a lot of friends. From each school, but I also lost a lot of friends. I was always this person that I was going to always say no to everything, right? I was always, if someone asked me to smoke, to drink, to do drugs, I was going to be that person that said no, that my friends wouldn't be able to convince me and all that stuff. And I didn't. All that time that I went through, none of my friends who tried to get me to do these things convinced me. But until my family on my one side, they had a series of drug problems, and I got hooked on them. They convinced me, they did all these things, and I became addicted in eighth grade. It's very sad and lonely. You think you're having the time of your life, when in reality your world is crumbling as an eighth grader. And I got to ninth grade, still addicted. But it's funny how we look back and see how God has moved on our lives. Sometimes we don't notice it right at that time, but when we look back and we see how God has moved, and how God has blessed us, and how God has pulled us out of these things that we never thought that we could get out of. I walked into my freshman orientation in ninth grade, still doing drugs, still drinking, and all these things, stealing. I walked up the steps to the bleachers, and there was Ben. And he looked at me, and he said, "You can sit here," right? And I was a pretty outgoing guy. Ben's a pretty outgoing guy. He looked at me. I sat down. He looked at me and said, "If you stick with me, you'll make it through high school." And I'm sure we didn't know each other. We were probably nervous, you know, trying to just break that ice. But when I really think about it, I did make it through. I think maybe 8 months down the road, somewhere in there, we sat right out in front of this church, and I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Went back to my grandma's house where we would do all this stuff because she was old, and she didn't know what was going on. And I thought to myself, and God was speaking through the Holy Spirit to me, and said, "No more." I got there, and my cousins were asking, you know, you want to do this, right? You want to do that? And I was like, I made up a total bogus lie, excuse, and said, "I'm tired." Went to sleep, woke up, and never went back. God pulled me out of there and said that, "I don't want you to live in your flesh anymore. That God wants to be my master, and that He wants me to serve Him faithfully, and all those things. That I was stuck over here, in my flesh, and I didn't know how to get out, right? Like I'm stuck in mud, just trying to move and move, but I was stuck. And then Jesus pulls me out of that mud, moves me over here to God. And now I'm saved, and God has blessed me with jobs and all these amazing things, blessed me with a fiance that is also devoted to the Lord, and all these wonderful, called me to be a pastor, which is a scary, scary thing. But it's something that I have to do because God has called me to do it. So now that I'm saved, there's still this raging battle, right? There's still this battle. Do I choose God? Or do I choose my flesh? I go back and forth on what to do. And really the question is today, is who is our master? Is our master God? Is our master us? Our flesh? Our desires? Our sin? Is that our master? Or is God? See, Satan has filled us with this lie that we must fulfill our flesh, right? To feel good, right? To feel something. To feel fulfillment. To feel loved. But when all reality, it leaves us empty, longing for something more, hoping for something more. That drugs and alcohol are going to fill this emptiness. That all these, that sin has no consequences. When all reality, sin does have consequence. Galatians 6:8 says, "Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life." See, sin does have consequence. And what does it say? It says that if we sow in the flesh, what are we going to get out of that? Destruction. Bad things are going to happen. Not good things, bad things. But the awesome piece is that it doesn't end there, right? That there's a way out, that there's something more, that the Spirit, that if you have Jesus Christ as the Spirit inside you, that if you sow in the Spirit, we reap eternal life. That we don't die and go to hell, that we go to heaven. But see, if eternal life isn't enough, we get joy, we get peace, we get love, we get forbearance, kindness, and all those things, self-control over here. Because God gives those things to us. Over here, we get loneliness. We get emptiness. We're left wondering, what else is there? See, over here, 1 second. Okay. See, over here in our flesh is evil. But over here in our spirit is good. Over there is destructive. But over here is productive. See, over there, it's all about me. It's all self-centered. But over here in the Spirit is self-giving. See, over here is oppressive and possessive. Over there is oppressive and possessive. And over here is liberating and nurturing. And over there is sinful, but over here is holy. Over there is deadly, but over here is abundant in life. See, the joy that you think that we get, that you get out of sin, will never outweigh what you get over here. You get so much more over here than you'll ever get over here. Over there, you get destruction. Things crumble. Over here, things grow. Over here, you grow over time when you're in the Spirit. You grow. See, to me, there's not really a comparison. See, a lot of times we sit there and battle, but really, I mean, where's the comparison at? Why do we spend so much time over here when everything that's good is over there? We spend our whole lives in the flesh. We sit there and we do whatever we can, right? We get as much money as we can. We get as much, you know, materials as we can. When all the good things are over there, right? The giving, what God gives us, these awesome gifts that God gives us, the Holy Spirit, all those things is when we let God be our master. When God is our master, everything falls into place. Over there, it's like a puzzle. You're trying to figure out what pieces go with which, but none of the puzzle pieces match. Over here, you have this puzzle that you're putting together that God helps us put together. He helps us grow and mature as Christians, that we learn. And we learn that over here in the flesh is going to destroy us. See, we know that God is so good. And to be honest, we're not. Now we wish we could have the two masters, right? We wish we could have the flesh and we could have God. We wish we could do what we want, but have all God's gifts. But that's never going to happen. We cannot have both. There's an analogy that I've heard, that God is like a tall glass of, let's say, white milk, right? And I love a glass of just regular 2% milk. And I love a tall glass of orange juice, right? I love both those things. But when I take a drink of God, the glass of milk, and then I take a drink of the orange juice, guess what? I get left with this nasty, icky taste in my mouth. They don't mix, and they never will mix. See, Matthew 6:24 says this. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. You can't have both. Either you're going to always lean towards one side or the other. We're always going to be in this constant battle of which way to go. And it gets tiring. It does. When you go back and forth daily, you wake up wondering, what am I going to do today? Am I going to glorify God? Or am I going to glorify myself? It gets tiring. When really we should just completely surrender to God being our masters. That we let God lead us, guide us, move us, grow us. That we're rooted in something that's strong. That we're rooted in something that is prosperous, that's going to do something when we're just over here stuck. You don't grow. You don't do anything. You're just being me. See, God doesn't want to be one of our masters. He doesn't. He wants to be the master. The only master that we have, the only person that we glorify, the only person that we worship, the only person. And I can't think of a better person to put all my trust into, all my faith into, and all of those things. That all the worries that we have in life, we can just give to God, our master, the one we serve. See, Pastor Matthew talked about last week in Joshua, when Joshua says, you know, I don't know about you guys, right? But for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And that's how we should be, right? That world out there is going to try to make us serve everything else, right? That Satan is going to try to make us serve everything else. But we should be there, we should sit there and say, for me, in my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. Think about the story of Job for a second. You know, the devil comes up to God and says, you know, your servant Job, basically what? Take that hedge away from him and he's going to curse you, right? Guess what? Job humiliated Satan there. Out of through all the things that Job went through, Job humiliated Satan. We should be able to do the same thing. When the devil tempts us to do these fleshly things, right? These fleshly acts, we should be able to say, nope, I'm going to serve the Lord. We should be able to do this, but it's that battle, right? That constant battle that we have inside of us. That flesh, right? That still is there and will always be there. But with God, when we put Him first, guess what? It's a lot easier to say no to our fleshly desires when we put God first. When we put God above all other things in our lives, for our job, for our kids, before our families and all those things. When we put God first, all those other things fall into place. One by one by one, God leads us and motivates us and encourages us and all those things. See, There's nothing better that can bring peace, love, fulfillment, like our God. Nothing. No thing, no place, no amount of money, none of those things can bring what God can bring. can bring eternal life. It can bring hope, peace, love. See, so many times do we always end up over here. And even when we don't want to. So many times we end up over here. But it's awesome that we have a God that we can come to confess our sins and He forgives us, right? He forgives us of our sins and we repent from them and He casts them as far as the east is from the west. That's it. Then we strive to be better, that we strive to learn more about God, that we say in His Word, that we pray to Him. See, the cool piece about prayer is we can talk to a friend, we can talk to a father, and we can talk to a king. We talk to all those things. And it just amazes me to think about how many times I was over here and how many times He let me back over here. So I'm going to have everyone close their eyes for a minute. I want you guys to think to yourselves, who is my master? Is it God? Is it myself? Maybe it's somebody else. Think about it for just a second. Who are you serving? Are you serving your flesh? Or are you serving God? See, chapter 7 of Matthew, verse 7 says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be opened." So I know this was kind of a short message, but if everyone wants to stand. And we're going to go ahead and do altar call, Alex. So ask yourself, am I really serving God? Or am I serving my flesh? Maybe today you're serving yourself and you want to come down here and make it right. Say no more of me. I'm going to glorify the Lord. To put God first and to serve Him. Who is my master? Hopefully you guys can say God today. I hope and pray that you can. If not, today is definitely the day to make that right. Not tomorrow, not the next day, not next Sunday, but today. Our God is awesome. There is no other person like Him, and there never will be. We serve a great God, right? Like you sang, how great is our God?